You know, it's the 3 weeks, and it's always a sad part for the Jewish nation, the 3 weeks. It is from Shivus of the Thomas to Tisha B'Av. It's very interesting that it's exactly 21 days from Shivus of the Thomas to Tisha B'Av, even though really it's 22 days if you count the day, but it's in between, it's counted 21 days. If you paid attention to the Haftorah, the Haftorah says what we just read in Shabbos, that the Hashem tells Yirmiyahu Navi, tell the Jewish people that I am hurrying to bring destruction to Israel because they are sinning. And the Pasuk uses the words Shoket Aini. Shkedim is almonds, and the Gemara says an almond till it buds, till it gets ripe, is 21 days. Exactly 21 days. And these 21 days, it's really for us, you know, is always not the most pleasant time. And it's a time that we really supposed to mourn on the Beis Hamikdash. So I want to try to explain for us simple people, what does it mean we don't have the Beis Hamikdash? You know, we were raised, born without the Beis Hamikdash. We never had it to miss it. I once asked a young man who was getting married, and I think the father, the mother was a single parent, and he didn't know his father. I asked him, did you miss your father? He said, I never knew a father. Never missed him. You know what I mean? I grew up without a father. The people have a father, leaves, it's worse. But I, you know, my mom, whatever it was, you know, it is, we grew up without the Beis Hamikdash. We don't have the Beis Hamikdash. So what was it that the Beis Hamikdash gave us? And what are we missing? But which we have a hard time to even comprehend. The first and foremost thing is, when the Beis Hamikdash is not here, we don't feel the presence of Hashem. We just don't feel it. You know, and we don't miss it. Better said, I've said this before once, we don't take care of our body, boy does he scream. You know, our body is a spoiled child. You know, try not to feed him lunch or supper, he barks, he's agitated your body. You know, he doesn't, I always joke about it and I say, I tell him, you know, we'll eat the meal an hour later. It's 5 minutes later, he nags. You haven't eaten. Or you don't sleep at night. You can't tell him, you know, every night you have to sleep? He says, yes. And he gives you a hard time. Our spirituality, we don't miss. If a guy doesn't daven one night, doesn't learn one day, we don't all of a sudden say, wow, I didn't pray. I feel my spirituality. Unfortunate, we don't feel that. Even deeper, as I've said this before, we don't feel the presence of Hashem. We don't feel like, you know, I would love to be close to Hashem. As I said, no one daydreams and says, you know, I can't wait to meditate and contemplate the greatness of Hashem. Yeah, you drive and if you're hungry, food comes into your mouth. If you have a hori, other things come to your mind. Sex comes to mind. But no one driving down the street says, you know what, I wish I could find a quiet place and just meditate. You know what I mean? Just get to close the nota. It doesn't enter our conscious. Not at all. It's like it's blank, our conscious. It doesn't enter. So when the Beis Hamikdash was standing and you wanted to tune in, you felt, there was a part of a person when you wanted it, I want to be close to Hashem. There's Hashem, I want to be close to Him. There was, now we have to fight for the relationship. It's not a two-way relationship. Now we have to work on it because we don't have the Mishkan. We don't have the Beis Hamikdash, the Shekhinah is not here. I think I said it over last week, but let me repeat this to explain it in a little bit. It's simple Kabbalah. And I don't want to teach Kabbalah, but I would tell you the simple thing with the Sifra that Reb Nachman speaks about it, Reb Nosson speaks about it. When Adam Rishon sinned, what happened was the Shekhinah left. The divine presence was with him, and he left. Totally went up. And the Zohar says, you know what happened? The Yud and the Hey and the Vav of Hashem's name was separated with the last Hey. They were separated. It was Yud, Hey, and Vav got separated, and they're not one. And the trick is to make it to one. If you, some Svardim say it, many Chassidim say it, but many Svardim notice and say, Shem, Yiche, Chitche, Briche, Shchinte. You ever saw this? That's an, even some, that means you miyached the name of Hashem. If, because the Hey represented the Adam Rishon, he sinned, so the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Adam Rishon, Ayeku, he asked him, where are you? But really, the Zohar says, not just asked him, where are you, where is, why is the Hey alone? Eichvo Yoshev Bader. How come Eich, Hey, the letter Hey, is all alone? See, the rule to change, to motivate a person to change, is to ponder over a question. Why am I doing this? Or what have I done? And anyone who raises children, and has children, I hope you all have children, will have children, you know, a child misbehaves, and he does something, and he says, what have you done? The child starts answering, no, I don't want you to answer. What have you done? I'm trying to answer. No, I don't want you to answer. Why don't you want the child to answer? I want you to hold the question tight. Don't answer. Don't become defensive now. Because we're geniuses to defend ourselves. We have a lot of, you know, we have, I always tell people, we have a disc in our mind, excuses. But if you want, don't pull down the disc. Hear the question, what have you done? The same thing you should ask yourself, what are you doing with your life? Or what have you done? When the Hashem asked Adam Rishon, he said, Ayeku, that question was, what? Where are you? Adam Rishon thought that Hashem was asking him, he doesn't know where I am. Of course he knows where you are, but where really are you? What have you done? But the Zohar says in Kabbalah, Hashem says, you know, why is the Hey alone? Ayeku and Eichu is exactly the same letters, you know that. Ayeku and Eichu. Eich, Hey. Why is the Hey separated? So that, because the Shekhinah got sort of separated. Do you realize that the Yud and the Hey and the Vav is exactly Gematria 21? Yud and Hey is 15, and Vav is 6, is 21. The 21 days between Shiva Subatamas and Tisha B'Av represents that it got separated. And the trick is to bring it together. Well, if we bring it together, the Shekhinah comes to us. Literally comes to us. And that's the greatest, enormous feeling when you can have the Shekhinah in a person's presence. So, when the Besmigdish was standing, really, the Besmigdish, people felt a desire to get close. But if you don't want to be close, then what am I doing here? You know, it's like, so if someone is working and you don't want me around, you just, I'm getting out of here. Kavu Yochel, the Shekhinah said that I doesn't feel wanted. So let me explain a very, very, very profound Gemara. And the Gemara says, the first Bismigdash, we know why it got destroyed. There was three great sins, the first Bismigdash. Number one, the worship idols. Now it's very hard for us to understand this. You know, but we have no Yetzirah. You know, we don't pass by an idol. He said, you know what? It's such a cute idol. I just can't control myself. I've got to bow down to it. We look at it, really? This is what they worship? Well, that's strange. You know, that because the Yetzirah was taken away. When it was there, there was a, you know why there was such a Yetzirah? We could understand the roots of it. generally speaking, we don't like to be responsible. That's a rule in life. We don't want to blame. You know, we love to blame each other. You ever notice? The first thing Hashem asked Adam and Eve, why did you do it? You know who he blamed? He blamed his wife. Not only his wife did he blame. He blamed the Shatchan. He says, you're the Shatchan. You set me up with her. We don't like to be responsible. So idol worship was, you know, let's just move a little bit. It's just too much. It's human nature is not to take responsibility. More and more, but fully, you know, everyone, I always tell this to people, every one of us probably, you know, tries to keep Shabbos the right way. The Yetzer Hara doesn't tell a person, drive Shabbos. Doesn't tell a person, just tells a person, cut corners. Yeah, if the iPhone is left on the table, forget about Muksa, just put it away. You know, he doesn't. No one is going to eat non-kosher food. But, you know, everything needs a shgocha. You think, okay, now the potato chips, I have to have a shgocha. Probably it's kosher. The Yetzer Hara, this is how he plays his trick to cut corners. To be responsible is a great thing. So when that's how we disorder. Gilad Oyes, we know Gilad Oyes what it was. And Shvichas Domen, that literally, that's the first Bissim English that was murdered. And when it says the second Bissim English, why did that get destroyed? So let me say a very profound thing where the Maral explains this. He brings many Gemaras, which is too long to explain, that shows these three things push the Shechina away. Avodah Zarah, Gilah Aroyes, Shvichas Domem. These are the three biggest sins. Now let me tell you a little bit. He explains that he brings right from Sukkim that the Shechina gets pushed away, but let me tell you how the Rizal adds to this. The Rizal says a very, very profound thing. When Avram Avini was born, the Rebbeinu Shloim gave Avram a hay. So the hay of Hashem's name had a tikkun. Yitzchak was born. You know, Yitzchak should have not been Yitzchak. You know his name should have been? Tzchoik. Sarah says, Tzchoik was a little kid. Hashem is making a joke. I'm going to be an old lady, 90 years old. I'm going to have a child. Tzchoik. But they added a yud. We called him Yitzchak with a yud. So the Zohar says, so the yud had a tikkun. Came Yankov. Very often in the Torah, Yaakov is spelled with a vav. So the vav had a tikkun. The yud, hey, vav. So the Rizal says even more. Avram Avinu, when other Marishans sinned, you know what the what's name said to the Marishan, the snake? He said to the Marishan, do you know what? If you're going to eat from the tree, you'll become like a god. You're able to create worlds. And the Rishon bought into it. I will become a god. That's idol worshipping. I mean, you could be a creator. Who are you kidding? So that was a Avodah Zarah. Gil Aroyes, you know what the Medrash, it's not even the Zohar, the Medrash has a great Ariches that so Gil Aroyes, the Medrash says that the Nochash was very jealous of Adam and his wife. What was his jealous? The Medrash says Adam knew, the Nochash knew, that a man and his wife have a relationship differently than animals. They share things. It's one unit. In the animal kingdom, you mate and each one goes on the way. You're a snake, according to the Zohar, is a very big loner. When I was a child growing up, and I used to go in the Catskills in the summer, we used to try, you know, there was a lot of snakes there in my bungalow over there. And we used to go, you know, young boys, look for the snakes. We never found two snakes going together. There's always one snake. A snake is a loner. You know who causes all the shootings? The loners. It's always this cuckoo loners. You know, they're the dangerous ones. The Nochash was a loner, and he wanted to have a relationship with Chava. That was Gil Aroyes. Shlichus Domem was the mission not to die. The snake called, these three Avedas needed a tikkun. So the Rizal says, the Zohar explains it, Avram was Moisa Nefesh not to worship Avodah Zarah. he was willing to be thrown in the Kipshon Eish, to throw to the fire, not to worship Avodah Zarah. Yitzchak was willing to die, so that he was made a tikkun in Shlichus Domim. Yankim, that he had so many wives and children, he was massacring the chet of Gil Arois. That brought the Shechina down. When Klal Yisrael in Bayis Rishon violated these three things, the Shechina was moving back up. Moved back up. So Bayis Rishon, that's what. Bayis Sheni, why did we get Cholif? So the Maral says a very, very profound thing. He says, Bayis Sheni, the Beis Hamikdash, did not have the full purpose of the Shechina being there. It was not there. But what it did accomplish, it made a big achdus in Klal Yisrael. It made us into one. You know, Lahavdil, America is one country. How? Because each state has its congressman, senator in Washington. So Washington, D.C. unites us. Why are we not united with Mexico? Because we are united right there in Washington, D.C. We all 50 countries. You know, even though you live in Hawaii or you live in Ashkenaz, not unite us. When there was sinas chinam, you don't want to be united. So the Beis Hamikdash got destroyed. That is, you notice that loving in kind, not to have sinas chinam, is a difficult thing. That's why you notice many people don't have great shalom bayis. Many people don't know how to get along with people. It's not such an easy thing. It's something you need to work on. Because also, I'll explain later, but part of the reason was the Shechina is not with us. If we would have had the great Achdus, unity, the Shechina would have been with us much quicker. So the Beis Hamikdash got destroyed. Either the Bayis Rishon got destroyed because I explained the three Averis, Bayis Sheni, because the people, this had Sinas Chinam. You know, Sinas Chinam does not mean I look at you, you don't wear the style of clothing that I wear, I don't like you. That's childish. There was, you know, people find excuses why to dislike people. So that was, the Beis Hamikdash got destroyed. To explain it even a deeper way, let me tell you a very, very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, it's very, very, very interesting. The Gemara has a long story about Hurdus. You know Hurdus? Hurdus was Herod, I think in English you call him Herod, the king of the Jews. He was really a slave who rebelled against his Beis Hashmonoi, and he became a ruler. He built Metzada, he built Caesarea, if you know Israel a little bit. He was an incredible builder, but he was a maniac and a murderer. I don't know if you know history, he killed one of his wives and five of his own children because he was paranoid. So one of the things in what it says, he killed the Sanhedrin. Then he realized he made a horrible mistake. So the Gemara relates, he came to ask, he left one of the Dayanim Sanhedrin behind. He asked them, I realize I made a terrible mistake for killing the Sanhedrin. How can I have a tikkun? So he said to him an incredible thing. The Beis Hamikdash is called the eye of the Jewish nation. Because the Pasuk calls it Mechamed Einechem, the beauty of the eye. You know, eyes are beautiful, the eye is beautiful, the Beis Hamikdash is called. So since the apple of the eye, the beauty of the eye, and Sanhedrin is called also the eye, because the Pasuk calls Sanhedrin Einei Yisrael, the eyes of the Jewish nation. So he told them, you knocked out the eye of the Jewish nation, killed Sanhedrin, rebuild the eye. The Gemara, some say he said differently. He says the Sanhedrin brought down Torah. Ner mitzvah, the Torah or the Torah represents the light. So you now extinguish the light of the world. So go rebuild the light that the Beis Hamikdash is called the light in the Hari Elif Kalagoyim. So to make it practical, in order to see, you need two things. You need your eyes to see, and you need light to see. You can have 20/20 vision. If it's pitch dark, you're not going to see. And vice versa. You know, if you have light, but your eyes don't work, you also don't see. In order to see, we need both things. The Beis Hamikdash represented both things. So what does that mean? That meant you were able to look at life in a much, much clearer way. If you want it, you tuned in and asked yourself, what am I doing? You know, when people, I tell people to meditate, Nachman emphasized very, very much, and I try to encourage people. When people meditate, you find they're much calmer, they get along with people easier. And one of the reasons, I explained it to someone, asked you once, because you start thinking, what am I doing with my life? You're much more focused. What's going on over here? But the Zman Beis Hamikdash didn't take so much. You just walked to the Beis Hamikdash and lit you up. There was a light there, literally, that you woke up and says, what am I doing with my life? See, Rav Nachman says in a much deeper way, like in the Kita Aluchos, it brings it down, that one of the greatest things a person could do for himself is to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. You know what I mean? Just to check out what you're doing. You know, people have told me who joined the 12-step program, tell me one of the greatest things is that one of the 12-step thing is to take an accounting what you're doing with your life. When a person sits down, because we're all humans, we make mistakes. And when mistakes come creeping up before you know, what did I do? I always tell young people when they come to getting married, just told the Chassan Kala, I always tell them, you know the difference with disagreeing and arguing. And they look at me, they don't know. So disagreeing means, I agree, I say one thing, you say different. I disagree with myself. Yesterday I had one thing in mind, and today I said, what was I thinking yesterday? Arguing is, when someone is hurt, you start arguing. When you argue, you have nothing to do with the issue. Someone is hurt, that's why you're fighting. You ever notice, you get into an argument, stop and say, someone is hurt. Why are you arguing? This person disagrees. I don't want my wife to be a yes, yes lady. So everything I say, it's boring. I like when she gives me a hard time. You know, otherwise, that's what's... But, and to explain, what Rav Nachman says, when a person had the Beis Hamikdash, he was able to look at his mistakes much easier. We don't have that now. You have to literally sit down and think about what, put a light, a spotlight over yourself, and ask yourself, what are you doing with life? And to you know, this is very important. So when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, two things we had. We were close to Hashem, we felt the presence of Hashem. And second of all, not only you felt the closeness of Hashem, we were able to, if you want to, look at yourself. It's very, very difficult and painful to look at yourself. Because you know why? Because it's you, and we all love to be complimented. We all love to feel that we're great. And it's very painful to say to someone, you know, you made a mistake. It's the Shlomo HaMelech says a wise person likes criticism, but you have to be Shlomo HaMelech. You have to be very wise. Most of us don't like to be criticized. No one likes to be criticized. We all like to be complimented. One of the most basic needs of humans is that you want to be accepted. That's the most basic thing. So when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, a person was able to bathe in the light of the Beis Hamikdash and to let the light into himself. Now we don't have this. That's why we don't even know what we're missing. But the loneliness in a person's soul tells to him that you've not been taking care of yourself. We all sometimes feel, no matter how close you are to your wife and your family, to your husband, a certain loneliness. That loneliness comes because we don't feed our spiritual need. See, this world, as I always joke about, is you know, if you have children, and the child that catches the most gets the most attention. Your body and your soul, who catches the most? Is your body. He's hungry, he's tired, and needs to be bathed. He, you know, we take care of him automatically. Your spiritual needs, you don't take care of that. You must work on it to take care of it. So when the Beis Hamikdash was around, it was much, much, much easier to focus on the Beis Hamikdash, to focus on yourself. You have the light into yourself. But you don't have that light, and that causes that we are so far from Hashem. Another proof to this, I once mentioned this before, which the Kita Aluchos explains. Most people walk around unhappy. Ever notice this? We walk around 99% of the time, most of us walk around unhappy. There are people who make it, but if people are happy, it's a mission in the life to be happy. I still have a mother, Baruch Hashem. Remember as a young child thinking to myself, many people I remember seeing this, especially Holocaust survivors, they didn't have how to kvetch, they created something to kvetch. You know, ever notice something, people, they have nothing to kvetch, they're going to find something to kvetch, find something to be unhappy. Instead of finding something to be happy, happiness is very difficult. Tell a person to be happy, he looks at you strange. But one of the reasons is because the Shechina is so far from us. We are not complete. There's a deep, deep loneliness. So that's why it's very hard to be happy. That's why after Udam Rishon, the beginning I explained, Udam Rishon, the Rebbeinu Shlom told the Din Be Tzuvoi Toichlenu, with depression you will eat. The curse of depression, Adam and Chava got. You're only going to be happy if you decide to be happy. See, I try to explain in a very simple way. A baby is born. The first thing the baby does is cry. Imagine, no one came into the world laughing. We all come crying into this world. The baby doesn't cry, he gets pinched till he starts crying. And how does the baby communicate? Crying. How do you know it's hungry? She's crying. And how do you know she needs to change the pamper? She's crying again. Anyone who has children knows when the child gets a little older, he doesn't say, "Mom, can you please serve me dinner? That will be music to the ears." Even teenagers don't do that. They never say, "Mom." They start fetching and fighting, and then you have to figure out, uh-oh, they're hungry. What's going on? Our communication skills comes through a huge stretch. And even as couples, instead of communicating directly, they start fetching, they start arguing, start being hurt, instead of saying, "This is what I need, this is what I would like to happen." This is what we learned as a young child to be a kvetch. And that was the klola that Udam Rishon got. When the Shechina left, the hay left, and when the hay left, that means we became sort of depressed. And the only time you're going to be happy, you must conscientiously be happy. And it's a fight. I have said this often, no one, depression, I always joke about it, depression sneaks in without being invited. One day just wake up, the doors were locked, I'm depressed, how did he get in here? He just arrives. Happiness has to be invited. If you want to be happy, you have to tell yourself you want to be happy. Because that's, a person could be happy for a while, he goes to a wedding and gets cheered up and some good news, some good business there, but true happiness you have to fight for. Because the reason is, the Shechina is not with us. And because the Shechina would have been with us, it would have fulfilled us. See, we walk around life with always stretching something that's not good. If the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, you have 100, you want 200. You always tell yourself, if my boss would just double my salary, I'll be a happy person. And then you say it after you double, one more time, I promise to be happy. And it doesn't, it's silliness, because no matter what you have, you're always going to look, this is not good, that's not good. You think wealthy people walk around with a big smile. They don't. As a young child growing up, I was always, being a child of Holocaust survivors, always remembers this thing, that some of these Holocaust survivors became multimillionaires. And they never walk around smiling. They came with nothing. My parents came with nothing. So why are they not smiling? The life is incredible. We are blessed. Even us, who are born now, no one lived the life that we have since Adam Rishon was kicked out of Gan Eden. Do you know that? He didn't have an iPhone. And his daughter didn't, he couldn't FaceTime with his daughter from Israel. No. He wasn't. And my mother lived in a village. They'll catch, you know, if you catch, you catch in the village. You catch in Beverly Hills. It doesn't make a difference. You know, I mean, the catch is in you. It's not because all of a sudden you have more money, a bigger house, I'm going to stop catching. Then you catch that the furniture is not so straight, and this is not good. You're always going to catch. Catch always finds a reason to catch. The unhappiness is always going to find a place. But coming back, so that was a klala that Udom Rishon got afterwards. And if a person would feel fulfilled, he went. I asked a guy who was going through a terrible, terrible situation. Someone hurt him terrible. A whole story with the business, and he wants to take revenge on him. So I was walking from Shabbos. I asked him, I'm going to ask you, if you would have won the $50 million lottery, what would you have done? You would have cared about that person? He says, once I have $50 million, I would have showed him I have it, and I wouldn't have done anything to him. I would have been happy. Someone showed me many, many years ago a poem that someone wrote. I spend my money that I don't have on things that I don't need to impress people I don't like. You know, often people buy things for people you don't like. I'm going to take money. I'm going to spend on people. The people you love, you're not interested in impressing. You know, your people you're really close to, him, he thinks I also made it. Yeah, the one that I don't like, I'm not impressed. Because you're not happy with yourself. The unhappiness of a person finds these silly things. But if you're truly happy with yourself, you don't care about anyone. I once gave a marshal. I happened to be lucky. My father was a very happy person. And after he passed away, so I was telling to all my siblings and the many, many grandchildren, and I said to all of them that I gave them a marshal how my father was. He never spoke Lashon Hara. My father was a simple person, but he didn't widely speak Lashon Hara. He said a very simple marshal. He said a bunch of young people are sitting in a meeting, and there's a hot Lashon Hara. You know, someone did something, and everyone is just, in Yiddish you say, kochen away. Everyone's full of passion. And one guy gets a phone call from his wife, and the phone call, it says, and the wife tells him, I have good news, I don't want you to tell anyone. Well, celebrate me, get home from the meeting. What's the good news? We just won $50 million lottery ticket. He closes the phone, puts it into his pocket, and looks around the room, and looks, and he says, why are we gossiping? And they ask him, did the Chofetz Chaim just call you? Who just called you? What happened? If you're very, very happy, you don't care about anyone. So the guy did is, why do you care? When you're unhappy, then I care what he did. Because I'm unhappy and I'll hope to be happy if he's not happy. If I'm bigger than him and more than him and different than him. If you're true happy, when the Shekhinah is not with us, we lack the happiness. And the truth, you know why we lack happiness? There's nothing in this world that's really fulfilling. There's nothing. Nothing, no matter how much money you make, no matter how big the house is, there's nothing in this world that you say, wow, that was a great steak, or that was a great soccer game, a football game. Nothing, you know, doesn't last long. But when the Shekhinah was in cloud, you saw, you felt the closeness to Hashem, that was incredible satisfying it was. So, you know, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it's very interesting. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the Pusik says, the fire, Yitzhak's Eish, a fire came and devoured the Beis Hamikdash. So, Rav Nachman Breslov says a very interesting thing he says. He says, when does fire come into play? When the light is not around. You know that when the light is not around, we need fire to light us up. This is electric. This also works with the idea of a fire. We need light. When there's fire, when there's they don't have the natural light, when there's fire, that could burn things down. The Beis Hamikdash was burned. The Beis Hamikdash was the light, as I explained before. It was the light of Klal Yisrael. It was the eyes of Klal Yisrael. When it got burned, the fire was, the Gemara says, a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, you know when the Beis Hamikdash was burned? It was started light in the afternoon. And most of the Beis Hamikdash was burned on the 10th day. And at night, that famous night, because the fire, when the light goes away, then the fire comes in. That's why Shechina is b'marav. You know, the Gemara says, Lo yizoza Shechina mekoysa maruvi. The Shechina is a marav, because the marav is the west, where the sun sets. When the sun sets, that's where we hope the Shechina to be light us up. If the sun sets totally, then we need fire, which is not always the greatest thing. So, coming back, what I want to reiterate, you know, there is the 3 weeks, and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and unfortunately, we don't feel the lack of Beis HaMikdash. See, Klal Yisrael, as they're going through Golas, they felt the lack of Beis HaMikdash. They really felt it. You know, they felt, you know, Beis HaMikdash is not here. I'll tell you also what they felt. They felt the Golas. You know, people lived in, you know, one of the sites that we live in an incredible time that no one ever lived. Do you know that the Jewish people in America lived a freedom? I don't know in history, I asked historians, if it existed such a free. You know, if you get fired because you're Jewish, I have a lawyer who told me, get fired because you're Jewish, they're going to get sued. I have a young guy, he walked in my shoe once. His wife was pregnant, and he's a software engineer. And he was working already a few months, when it was in the beginning of the winter, and he tells his boss that I want to tell you something, that now I have to leave early because I have to get home. He tells him, you know what, I was a yeshiva bocher. That's what he tells him. I know the shkia today is so much time. You're going to stop working a minute before the shkia. Imagine, he was a shrum guy, went off, threw away everything. He didn't know, he was like shocked. And he says to him, I am leaving an hour before. And he says, if not, he fired him. Monday morning, he gets emailed Moshe Shabbos, but he didn't realize, the boss says you're hired, and he fired the manager. The manager got it. Not because he's a tzaddik, the owner of the company is a Christian. Just, he doesn't want to have a lawsuit. Imagine, people came to America, if you didn't come on Saturday, don't come on Sunday. I mean, they could fire you because you were Jewish. Very. I mean, we're living in a life which is unbelievable. So we don't feel the gullus. People in Europe felt that it's terrible. Unfortunately, I was thinking to myself the last few days, the war in Eretz Yisrael is reminding us we're in gullus. We're not free. We're in gullus. Look what's happening. You know, the whole world, you look around the world, how everything is allowed to be done. In Syria, they're killing 100,000 people, and Iraq, but that's nothing. Oh, we're defending ourselves, we get into trouble. That is the goal of stuff we're suffering.
In regards to what's going on, because I think a lot of my friends, we've seen in particular, because of technology, things like Facebook, there's so much hatred, anti-Semitism, and all of this ignorance that's being spread through these technologies, and we're looking at them, and we don't, even though I understand that this is happening because of our lack of Torah and our lack of unity, however, in the face of these people who are speaking ignorantly, is it our duty to just remain silent?
We have to do ours to educate them, but the fact is, Haluchahi, Esav, Soina, Es Yankev. That means Esav hates us for no reason. You know, I once heard a tape from a Barrow Wine. He's a famous historian, and he, for months he was lives in Exisol. And one of my sister had a tape when I borrowed a car, and he says in the tape what we learned from the Nazis, Yimach Shimon, from Germany. The people used to think they hate the Jews because we're different, we dress different, we're different religion. He hated a Jew because he was Jewish. Because he killed Jews who assimilated. Nothing to do. This is a fact. The Rebbeinu Shlomo have made it this way. Esav hates us. And the only way that could be changed, if we are more religious, we keep the Torah, that goes away. And the less we keep Torah, unfortunately, that doesn't go away.
So don't even educate.
Well, sometimes it helps. It does help sometimes. I just want to finish. I want you to encourage you all to take time for yourself. Really, the greatest gift that you could do for yourself is take time and sit down and talk to Hashem. You know, when you sit down and talk to Hashem, you get things out of your system. It gets, you know, it makes a person much more peaceful. I could tell immediate people meditate, different type of meditation, because they're much calmer, much more peaceful. They're not so rumbling things going around them. It's much, and you could be able to find Hashem much easier. You know, someone showed me an article that people meditate don't have heart attacks. Less. You're much calmer. But it's the sweetest thing if you sit down for 20 minutes, train your mind, just to talk to Hashem. It's one of the most powerful things you can do for yourself. So I wish you all that even though it's the 3 weeks, maybe she should help us, that we should not hear any bad news in Israel. We should only hear good news. And we should, you know, take advantage to do tshuva. And she was zoicha this Tisha B'Av. We should all be in Yerushalayim with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen.